News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're back right now, 3:22 p.m. Hey, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, listen, I know these folks personally. I would not be touting them like I do if I did not have every confidence in who I say that they are. ZLA Solutions is doing more right now to put people back to work than anybody I know. And they are doing a great, it's had their biggest year ever. So yeah, ZLA Solutions, you can find them at ZLAUSA.com. If you are looking for a job, you can go to that website, ZLAUSA.com. They got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Good paying jobs. Jobs paying as high as $20 an hour, some of them just recently. So, yeah, there's that. But if you are also an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need a group of folks. Doesn't matter how big. They can do that for you. Recruiting, that's their big deal. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. So, ZLA Solutions. They can handle all kinds of things to make your business better. In fact, that's their mantra. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. Yes, they do. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. So, yeah, let's wrap up this section on number one of the Triple Dipper, shifting winds in Alabama politics. So one of the things that's also shifting in the political winds in Alabama is the money. Lots of money. Lots and lots of money. Now, yeah, I agree. I get tired of how much money is involved in politics. I will say this. It costs a lot of money to buy ads. It costs a lot of money to buy TV and radio time. It costs a lot of money to do the direct mail pieces. It costs a lot of money just to get your name out there where people know who you are. All right, so story on WBRC.com dated last week, April 26th. It points out, it says Alabama's primary election is just a month away, and that was back then. Now it's like 3 weeks and a wake-up. Voters will determine which candidates will be on the ballot in November. The GOP nomination for governor is one of the key races to watch, and it is flush with cash, the article says. All the candidates in the field have raised more than $20 million combined and spent more than $13. Wow, that's a lot. Now, I will say this, in Alabama, the race for governor is pretty much over at the primary. I mean, it's going to be May 24th or more likely June 21st, the runoff. But I'm just saying the Republican primary is largely seen as the road to the governor's mansion. Now, three Republican candidates top the list: Lindy Blanchard, Kay Ivey, and Tim James. Kay Ivey has raised $6.9 million. $6.9 million, which accounts for nearly $3 million from businesses and around $2 million from PACs, or political action committees. Her largest business donation came from a group called Get Families Back to Work, which is known as a dark money group. It has the same address as the Republican Governors Association. So that sounds like some incumbent protection right there. Blue Cross Blue Shield donated $100,000. 60 businesses around the state have donated $10,000 or more. The top PAC donors came from Alabama Power, the Business Council of Alabama, and Progress PAC. They've contributed $100,000 each. She's gotten like up to 1.6 million individual donors. Her biggest one was $250,000 from Tuscaloosa businessman Stan Pate. So lots of money in the Ivy campaign. Even still, she's not getting over 50%. So that's okay. I'm not sure they're getting the return on their investment right now. But in the meantime, hot on her heels are the other candidates in the race. Lou Burdett, Tim James, Lindy Blanchard, Dean Odle, Dean Young, the whole crew, right? Even the yoga guy. Lindy Blanchard, though, this is what got my attention. According to WBRC, I remembered early on Lindy Blanchard had put $5 million of her own money into her race. Now it's $9.4 million. Can you imagine investing can you imagine having enough money to invest $9.4 million in your own race for governor? Well, she has. And, some say that what that does is it frees her up. She can do and say whatever she wants to without being beholden to anybody. Well, I got news. I don't care who supports your race. You should be yourself. If they want to support you, they should support you, not support you only because you'll say things the way we like it said. Tim James' campaign raised more than $3 million. He's received $1.6 million from individual donors, which includes nearly $1 million in loans from Guy Slauson, who's with Southeast Forest Products, and John McInnes III, who's in construction and owns the Florabama down there on the coast. Businesses have spent like $1.2 million investing in his campaign. So there's that. Lou Burdett, who is way behind the rest in fundraising, has a policy. He will not accept contributions in excess of $10,000. So, you know, right off the bat, I will say this. Lou makes a great candidate. He's got a lot of crowd appeal. He's good at retail politics. He's got an incredible resume. He's going to be hampered if the spending thing remains the way it is. But he strikes me as being so principled that he's not going to change it. So, yeah, he's only raised $500,000. So you got – there's the top four. $500,000 Burdett, $3 million Tim James, $9.4 million in a personal loan from Lindy Blanchard, and then $6.9 million Kay Ivey. Y'all, that's – I'm just going to go ahead and say that's a boatload of money right there. Just a boatload of money. Well, the polls, we don't have a new poll out. I know there have been internal polls going on, but the polls themselves, right now the most recent one we have is a bit of an outlier. There's only been one true poll, I say true, only been one poll that appears to have been done in standard fashion, but even it is questionable. FarmPack, and FarmPack is Alpha Insurance. And FarmPack is fairly conservative, but FarmPack comes back in February saying that Ivy was at 54% then. Tim James at 11 and Blanchard at 9. But when you don't go out and poll all the rest of them and get the full name ID off of every candidate, there's no way that's accurate. I'm still predicting runoff for the gubernatorial race, Kay Ivey 38 to 42%. And next in line, I'm thinking, is going to be either Tim James or Lou Burdett. We'll see. All right, folks, coming back, we're going to number two on the Triple Dipper, Liberal Mumbo Jumbo. You're going to like this one. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I got number two on the Triple Dipper here, and I may have to have Copper help me with this because there's a lot of big words in it. You're good at big words. So Liberal Mumbo Jumbo. This is this one. So, okay, Copper, I'm going to read you a headline. You ready? Grab the microphone. Focus in on something else over here. You ready? All right, here we go. I'm reading you a headline. Tell me if you know what this means. Like if you were just, okay, first of all, if I read you this headline, would you think this is a liberal or conservative? You ready? Here we go. From the Tennessean.com, dated April 4th, a few weeks ago. It says, meet Nashville's trans queer Latinx neurodivergent theologian.
Oh, boy. Say that again?
I know. I had to read it like two and three times.
Missed half of that.
And even still, okay, these are like, I would say these are Scrabble words, but I don't know if they're real words. All right, so to a story from the Tennessean. Meet Nashville's trans queer Latinx neurodivergent theologian.
Those just seem contradictory to me.
Those seem made up to me. I'm not even sure they're contradictory. I just look at it and go, what the heck is that even saying? And hey, Birdman's walking in the studio. Come in the house, Birdman. How you doing? Well. All right. So I'm gonna read this to you, Birdman. I'm gonna get your facial reaction and I'll describe what I see. You ready? Here's the article from the Tennessean that started this whole section of the Triple Dipper. Prepare yourself. Oh, you heard Copper do Copper's Corner. She has quite the vocabulary. This one got her too. All right, you ready? Meet Nashville's trans queer Latinx neurodivergent theologian.
Yeah, sure. whatever works.
That was a cop out, and you know it.
All right, I got nothing on that.
Okay. All right, so here's the bottom line, folks. Here's why I did this. Liberal mumbo jumbo. Have you ever noticed the fact that when you're dealing with liberal stuff, liberal issues, when you're reading liberal, you know, demagogues, when you're following up on liberal policy, Have you ever felt like they make up new words every day? Like, where did that even come from? What is a Latinx? Well, I got news. A lot of Latino folks don't even like Latinx. I mean, who made that up? How did it get out there in the lexicon? Meet Nashville's trans queer. So trans and queer are two different things, I guess? Or maybe they're the same thing because there's one word now. This is one word, trans queer. Meet Nashville's trans queer Latinx neurodivergent. Now, Copper, you told me neurodivergent was actually a psychological
term, yes.
Okay, it's used in psychoanalysis. It's a real deal, right?
It is.
But real people don't talk that way. I know that. Okay, so there's that. And then the last word is theologian, which we all know what theologian means, but I would not have anticipated the word theologian being coupled with trans queer.
No, probably not.
Okay, and I will say this, too. Here's the other thing about liberal mumbo-jumbo. That's why I'm doing this section. Liberal mumbo-jumbo is just this constant stream of let's redo the English language, not the least of which is in this particular article, what really got me, aside from the title, which drew me in, and by the way, the photograph, which I won't even talk about. But as I read the article, apparently the person who is the trans queer Latinx neurodivergent theologian goes by the name Robin Henderson Espinoza. So Robin Henderson Espinoza, it says, is the only Nashville-based trans queer Latinx neurodivergent what is a public theologian? Does anybody know what a public theologian is? You don't have a church, you're just out there preaching on the street corner? What is that?
Like a wandering scholar?
The itinerant trans queer Latinx.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, okay. Anyway.
In her electric car.
Well, is it a she? Well, you can't say she, by the way.
Oh,
that's
right.
My point I was about to
there.
Get to.
Oh,
here's the deal.
God.
Henderson Espinoza, who uses gender-neutral pronouns. There's no such thing as a gender-neutral pronoun. You is or you ain't. She said, okay, anyway, here's how the article. So then the author of the article, someone named Liam Adams. Is that really your name, Liam? We want to know. Liam Adams then begins to refer to Robin Henderson Espinoza as they. It doesn't work that way. That is not legit. All
add
right?
An X to
it. What?
They just add extraneous letters wherever.
See?
To make it more PC. So maybe it's Vex.
You've been reading my notes. You've been reading my notes. All right. So the bottom line is this. Henderson Espinoza, who refers to themself. Refers to themself as an ordained Baptist minister with a PhD in philosophy, knew for many years they were transgender, but didn't explore what it meant to them until 2017 when they moved to Nashville. Apparently all the people in its head moved from Nashville to California, or from California. Henderson Espinoza found a Vanderbilt physician who is overseeing Henderson Espinoza's hormone therapy. Something's wrong in the medication. Something's wrong in, I don't know, whatever they're taking, but the reality is this. This whole article is filled with the most egregious mumbo-jumbo revision of the English language like I've never seen. Well, I pulled an article off the Federalist. By the way, that was the Tennessean.com. I challenge you to read it and not laugh. All right. How the left's war on words manipulates your mind. This comes from the Federalist. Great article, but it's dated back to 2018. See, this is not a new phenomenon. The Federalist wrote this piece, and they talk about the means by which liberals do this. And it starts off the article written by Benjamin Durker. It says, whether we are communicating something simple like a restaurant order or something complex like a tax code, we expect others to understand. Yes. Yes, we do. But it says through linguistic activism, there's a great combination of words, linguistic activism, leftists have begun a full-scale war on language, playing by their own set of constantly shifting rules. Thank you. I am affirmed by an article from 2018 in the Federalist. And it says, this is not linguistic drift or slang. It's a conscious effort to reshape society. And I agree with that. The schemes include redefining words, using modifiers, like Copper was saying, to alter the meaning of words, replacing technical words with colloquial words, and creating new words. And each one of these, it says, is a bullying tactic which distorts effective discourse. I agree. So right now, I guarantee you, if you're talking to Robin Henderson Espinoza, and you refer to that person as she or he, depending upon which you identify them as being identified at their birth, they're going to, that person's going to take issue because you didn't refer to her or him as them. Or for that matter, you have to question, what is trans queer? I don't know what that means. Why aren't you keeping up? Don't you know these things? And so, folks, when they make up words every single day, there's no way to keep up. I mean, any of you who have worked in foreign countries and you know what it's like to learn two or three words of the language, but you don't know all of it. I was sitting in the vehicle once in Afghanistan, and my interpreter started talking about me in the back seat, and I knew just enough to catch it. And I turned around and said, "Hey, Weiss, I know you said this and this about me. What was the rest of it?" And his response was, "Oh, sir, you're getting very good at Dari." But yes, I was, but I picked up just enough to catch him. But that's all I knew. All right. When liberals make up words every other day, there's no way to keep up, and they use that as a bully tactic. Oh, you're not in. You're not in with us. You're not in the club. You're not keeping up. You need to keep up because there's new words. Pay attention. Don't pay attention. Go to school. Learn the freaking English language. What you're doing is just redefining terms and creating new words. And that is not the English language. That's called, well, the article on federalism says it's a bullying tactic. So what kind of tactics do we see here? Well, number one, first example they give, it starts with misusing words or defining them based on a circumstance rather than objective meaning. I agree with that. Things like when the words can't be flipped, though, they do things like they suggest new meanings altogether. Like in the case of firearms, they just call them assault weapons. Webster's Dictionary then also got on board. Webster's has gotten a little bit liberal, and so they have started doing things like helping by redefining words to match cultural issues as opposed to the actual language. All right, here's the other one. Following very closely is what they call substituting words to suit the political narrative. All right. The play here, it says, is almost always to swap out the legal or the technical word for the connotation from casual. So, like, while assault rifle is one example, another more explosive one is terrorism. Well, terrorism has a legal definition, y'all. Terrorism under the law is actually legally defined, but yet they throw it out there all the time. Well, when they came down there wearing a gun on their hip, even though it was an open carry state and the law allowed it, it was terrorism. No, it wasn't really. Another sleight of hand is using things like undocumented immigrant instead of an illegal alien. Well, they're an undocumented immigrant because they're here illegally. Can we say that? No, that's racism. All right. New words, it says in this article, don't harm discourse unless they're thrust upon people and enforced through speech codes. And I agree with that. It makes you wonder what this new Office of Disinformation is going to do. Are they going to be about purely ideas? Or are they going to also suggest that certain words are trigger words and you have to not be allowed to rely upon those? It goes on to say, too, and I found this to be a... Okay, this one I almost had to read twice to get it. But one of the closing statements from this particular article from The Federalist, it says, when colloquial words are improperly elevated and legal and technical words are degraded to irrelevance, the interpreter is the only arbiter of meaning. Judges already hold this trust, but if they are unbound from the public meaning of words, they are no better than tyrants acting on subjective whim. What they're basically saying is, when they're allowed to continue making up words and do so at will, then they become the only interpreters of those words, and they then can bully you for not meeting their interpretation. And that's exactly what liberals do. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is a mind-bending... I thought this was going to be a far more lighthearted segment, but the more I talk... This is exactly part of the fight. I mean, why are we having to fight for the English language? You think we're just going to fight for things like the Constitution? But we're actually fighting for the actual use of our own language because they are co-opting it on a daily basis. Where'd that headline go? I'm going to read that headline again. Meet Nashville's trans queer Latinx neurodivergent theologian. I don't know what she preaches, but it's not coming at me in my language. All right. So, Copper, move us to a break. We're going to do that. I got a stack of stuff, though, but the funniest thing, though, I'm going to try and get a little bit more lighthearted with it. I've actually got some thesaurus type, you know, I've got literally a list of words that liberals, what they mean to a lib. Some of this was written by, you know, somebody tongue-in-cheek. One of them, though, I'm pretty sure was serious when he wrote it. And we'll go into that when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hang on, we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller on the line. I can't see the screen, though. Copper, what do we got here? Yes, indeed, line three. Brian from Athens, he held on during the breaks, and I appreciate that. Let me grab that real quick. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
He's talking about this, the whole confusion and the language thing and all the battles that are going on, and just how confusing life is gotten to be here lately. And something that's been driving me nuts for years. And my thoughts on it are, boil it down. The Bible tells us that the devil is the author of confusion. And the way I see everything that's going on is just exactly what I learned in my studies of the Bible was going to happen. I guess my thing is, you know, until we start fighting this war on the correct battlefield, I don't think we have a chance of winning because it's just too much for us to take on.
So you see this being as much a spiritual matter as anything.
I set it up that way on purpose. I want to know what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, so, Brian, great comments. Appreciate the call very much. So, yeah, I tend to agree. I see things as being spiritual in context at times, too, and I agree with you. I think God is a God of clarity, and you know, Satan is the author of confusion, the master of lies. And when I see a constant level of confusion in the discourse that is intentional, I cannot help but think that there's evil behind it. And I'm not saying that I see a demon under every rock, but what I am saying, though, is I do believe in the aspects of good and evil. I do believe they exist, and so truthfully, I don't disagree with what you just said. And I think scripturally too, you're also right. So I make no bones about it. So Brian, great call. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being in the audience and calling anytime. Hey, listen, I only got about five. Absolutely, man. All right, so I only got about 5 minutes left here. Let me do, because you know, I may take some of this and go afterwards, but. After Copper and the Birdman. So top of the hour, Copper and the Birdman. We're all three in studio right now. This is like, it's like reunion day. We're all in the room at the same time. Everybody's smiling. We all love each other. We'll see how it goes during Copper and the Birdman, though, won't we? That's right. Start throwing things at each other here in the studio. All right. Copper, I saw you about to say something. You grabbed the mic like you were going to hurl an epithet.
I thought you were going to start us going at it right away. I was like, okay, no, better be ready.
No, don't. See, Copper's is looking for conflict today. I'm just telling you, it could be a rowdy one. I don't know what's going to happen. All right, so here's a story off of NewJersey.com. NewJersey.com. Phil, what are you doing? Well, I'm reaching for resources. I'm all over the place. I'm shopping for resources. This one was written, this is a vocabulary, it's titled A Vocabulary Lesson, A Guide to How Liberals Use Words. The interesting thing was, I couldn't tell if the guy was serious or not. Like, the word racism. Racism means any expression of disagreement with President Obama. Okay, but I think he's serious. Or how about theocracy? Theocracy is the ever-present danger of the rule of America's right-wing religious mullahs. And by example, it says, an incipient theocracy rears its ugly head when students in Texas want to pray at the start of a football game. Really? How about this one? It defines guns. Guns are metal objects responsible for killing people and worshipped by right-wingers. You don't worship guns, do you, Birdman? He's nodding his head no. He doesn't. He has been known to fire one or three. But anyway. Obamacare, an epic gift to the American public. Okay, all right. Here's one, though. When I looked at it, I thought, that's not even funny. The word unwanted. Brace yourself, Copper. The word unwanted means the reason that a fetus prefers being aborted rather than coming into the world in a lower-income family.
Wow. Okay, my blood pressure just spiked there.
Wow, I know. Here, I'm gonna hand this one to you so you can use it on your show. Here, yeah. You ready? I just handed it to you. All right. But then, you know, I got another article here. Birdman, when we did these, I don't see a name. I don't see the name of the resource on this one. I can't remember where I got this one from. It's called Left Speak, a glossary of terms. You got to pull it up. You got, okay. Things like the word assault weapon is just any firearm. Border security is racism. The last one felt like it was literally, this came from where? Ultimac.com? I don't even know what that is, bro. How'd I find this? This was like some deep resourcing right here, man. This went into the archives. I was like inside somebody's brain doing this one. All right. A budget cut. A budget cut is a massive government spending increase that could have been even larger if not for the divisiveness in our society. That's got an air of truth to it. All right, we're going to do more of those because that's kind of fun. Liberal mumbo jumbo. But coming up next, top of the hour, right after the news break, one of my favorite times every single week, Copper and the Birdman. We'll see what my millennial mavens have to say on topics of the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.